Are you guys ready to record a podcast?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Your nervous laughter is still coming.
I'm sorry.
Welcome to the very first episode of This Side Up, the official podcast of a brand new website called Stealthy Box, which is at stealthybox.com. Yeah, my name is Joe Garcia. I'm the editor-in-chief and the host of this little podcast show for your ears. Joining me are Krista. Say hi, Krista.
Hi.
And also Jack. Say hi.
Hey, what's up?
Who are you guys? What's your deal? What's your guys' role with the website? If you could,
ladies first.
Oh, I thank you. That's very polite. Goodness. Well, my role on the site, since I am interested in Japanese culture, I am going to be writing articles about PVC figurines, stuff from video games, anime, also cosplay from video games, stuff like that. Just things that otaku or just, I guess, really nerdy gamers would be into.
All the JRPGs that Axis and NIS bring over that go way over my head, basically.
Yes, pretty much.
What about you, Jacko?
Well, first of all, Jacko.
Well, you don't have to say it. So.
So mainly I just do this and I also help with the social media stuff. I'll occasionally contribute stuff, possibly, if I feel like it.
Always good to feel like it when you do it.
I know, possibly.
Well, yeah. So I would consider myself a contributor / social media manager.
Would you call yourself a social media guru? Do you have some hot tips to help us build our brand on Twitter?
I have tips. I don't know about how hot they are.
Hashtag social media.
Yeah,
I know,
just hashtag
Stealthy Box.
Those people are the worst, by the way. Like, the people that follow you every now and then with, like, 10,000 followers and following 10,000 people are like, follow us because we've got social media tips. And it's like,
That is annoying.
It's like, you are the worst kind of person. Go away forever.
No, my tip is just hashtag everything, even if it has no relevance to what you're discussing.
Oh, yeah. Every now and then I like to put in a Kony 2012 hashtag.
Kony 2012 hashtag Prop 8 hashtag whatever people are talking about.
All the topical stuff,
yes. I'll think of more tips.
All right, and so Stealthy Box is going to be, or it is, a multi-platform video game website. We're gonna have news and reviews and editorials, all the hot stuff that all the kids are talking about on the playground these days. Except for PC and mobile stuff, because we just don't have the man or willpower to do stuff.
Yeah. Kids don't talk about that anyway.
Yeah, no one talks
about it. Well, mobile gaming is just, I don't understand it, really. I don't get the hype with it.
What's an iPhone? Never seen one.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not that. Just the gaming aspect of it.
I thought gaming was to not go outside, so, like, I don't see the point of putting it on, like, a portable thing so you can leave the house. That's not what I'm about. But
I still don't think iPads even exist.
Who
knows what they are, even? I don't. Who cares?
No one cares.
Am I right?
Yeah,
you're at 100% correct.
110%.
All right, so I guess we've got all the cool intro stuff out of the way. I guess we should talk about some of the news that we've been posting on the old Stealthy Box. We've been live for a few days now, as of this recording. Let's see what we've got on the docket here. Are you guys Metal Gear Solid 5 fans at all? Is that a thing for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I've dabbled in it. I've played 2, 3, and Rising. I feel like the universe is so big now that, like, I'd have such a hard time. Like,
it's not so much big as it is just completely batshit convoluted.
Yeah, convoluted.
But I do love it, so.
So
I need to try it. I played the first one, but it was too long ago. But the trailer for the new game just... I need to play the whole HD collection right now.
Yeah, I mean, this past week or last week was GDC over in San Francisco. And Kojima was there with Kojima Productions. And he unveiled Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain. Like, there was... For a while, it was two different games, and one of them was a fake game by a fake studio or something. Like, Phantom Pain was by Moby Dick Studios, which ended up being fake. super fake, when everybody knew it was fake anyway. So those two games combined to be Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, that and Metal Gear Solid Ground Zeroes.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Everyone knew the Phantom Pain was going to end up being Metal Gear Solid 5. I never thought that the Ground Zeroes would be part of that.
Yeah, I thought there would be two separate games.
I still thought that would be separate. That was really well played.
Yeah.
So that's like the prologue to the whole Phantom Pain.
Yeah, exactly. The way it works is that Ground Zeroes takes place 9 years before the Phantom Pain, I think, and then Snake goes into a coma and wakes up, and that's the Phantom Pain. If you ever played Metal Gear Solid 2, that's kind of how that was, where there's two very distinct sections of the game. One, the first part is a very short section where you play Solid Snake on the tanker for maybe 3 hours, four tops, if you're really taking your time. And then the rest of the game you play is Raiden on the plant, and that's the bulk of the game. That's what much of this is. Like. But the thing is that they're going to be released separately in this case.
Yeah, and that whole Raiden thing didn't go over well with a lot of people.
No, but I thought.
Yeah, they weren't very happy with the change.
And I think Phantom Pain will not have that kind of feedback.
It seems like you play Snake both times. But the interesting thing is that that it's going to be two separate releases as opposed to Metal Gear Solid 2, which is, one big game. Here, they're going to release Ground Zeroes first. And, they haven't said what the prices are going to be or what kind of distribution, whether one's going to be digital and only or whatever. But I don't know. It's interesting.
Oh, so they're doing it sort of episodic?
Yeah, like the idea is that they want you to get used to the... Because Metal Gear Solid 5 or the Phantom Pain is going to be an open world game. I don't know. I mean, that's something that's mostly new to Metal Gear Solid as a whole, so I don't know what that means for this franchise, but apparently Ground Zeroes is going to be released first so that people get acclimated to it, I guess.
Huh, that's interesting. I actually didn't know that. That's really weird. So they're pulling like a Deathly Hallows or like a Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Sure, if that's how you want to look.
Oh, I know. Don't relate it to Twilight, please.
That's one way to look at it, I guess.
I'm sorry. I probably just ruined it, but... Okay.
Tetra.
Now,
Jack Shrute, teenage girl.
let's move on before I ruin Metal Gear Solid anymore.
Oh man!
By comparing it to teen books and movies.
Well, the bummer for me is that David Hayter won't be voicing Snake anymore, like he'd done since forever, since the very first Metal Gear Solid game in '98.
Yeah, that's weird. That's going to sound so weird for a lot of people, I think, unless the guy can do a really convincing impression.
Which I'm not sure he can, because as soon as I heard Snake, and I'm doing these air quotes that only I can see, the Snake guy, it was very distinctly not David Hayter. I was like, who's this guy talking? So yeah, hopefully that's not too big a bummer.
Well, that always tends to be like really big bummers, especially when people get attached to the characters. They want the actors to stick with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like people freaked out when, what's his face, Michael Ironside, I think, when he wasn't the voice for one of the Splinter Cell games. And that's only the guy from Splinter Cell. It's like,
yeah, there's barely a character there.
Yeah, and here it's like, man.
Like I feel like Metal Gear Solid, if you don't have Snake, it's just a stealth game.
Right. Snake is Metal Gear. I mean,
pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But the game does look good, though. Did you guys see any of the Fox Engine stuff that they showed at GDC?
Yeah, I saw some of it. It was really impressive.
Yeah, it was like a 90-minute demo of just engine talk, and about 10 minutes into it, I was like, I no longer understand what's being said. But it was very impressive to look at. Like, they were comparing, like, pictures of the conference room at Kojima Productions to, like, a rendering that they did in the Fox Engine, and they were indistinguishable except for, like, some of the lighting.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Like, very, very barely.
This is going to be a next-gen thing.
No, actually, they ended the trailer for Metal Gear 5. Said Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3, which was...
Well, do you think they'll put it over? I mean, it definitely looks higher quality.
It definitely does. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, when they've lied before. So.
I mean, when you look at when you look at stuff like the lighting and the particle effects in the trailer, that stuff looks next gen. But then you look at the character models, if you look carefully right. enough, there's something, I guess, current gen about them, like something about like the skin textures and like the polygon counts in their hands and their face, I guess.
Did you see the Activision demo that they had? That's like the most impressive thing I think I've ever seen.
Which one?
They just did it recently.
Talking about Battlefield?
No. It was just a tech demo.
I haven't seen it.
For new engine. And it's one of those uncanny valley things, you know, where it's like the realer it looks eventually gets to a point where it starts looking creepy.
I mean, the three engines that they showed at GDC were Fox from Kojima. They did Frostbite 3 from DICE for Battlefield. Mm-hmm. And they did Unreal Engine 4, which is Epic.
Right. Well, Unreal Engine 4 we've known about for...
Right, but they had a new thing to show.
The Frostbite 3 looks really good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Frostbite 3 is lovely.
Yeah, and the new Mass Effect and the new Dragon Age games. They're both going to be on Frostbite 3.
And hopefully a new Mirror's Edge, if I'm crossing my fingers.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, they're making a new one. I thought it was, like, no, set in
they
stone.
They said they're making
April
a new
Fools.
One. No, it was no. not...
Don't
it's,
say that.
It wasn't really set on in stone. It was... I mean, they were sort of like, maybe.
Oh, so it was like touched upon, but not a definite.
Here's the thing about Mirror's Edge. Nobody bought it. So
I bought it
another
twice.
One.
I know, I bought it twice too.
I bought it on 360, and then when I bought a PlayStation 3, I bought it on PS3.
So you guys accounted for 5 out of the 13 that they sold.
Yes. Actually, wait, no, the second time I think I bought it used.
Oh, you monster.
Yeah, like, I did too.
You're part of the problem, bud. So, you claimed to buy 2 copies, but you really only bought the one.
Right. So I've ruined Metal Gear and Mirror's Edge.
What else do you want to crap on, bud, while you're here?
How about Shovel Knight?
Sure, let's talk about some Shovel Knight. Let's move on.
See, that was a good transition.
It really was. Yeah, so the next bit of news is that Shovel Knight has been funded on Kickstarter. It's this little indie game. It's being done by a company called Yacht Club Studios or Yacht Club Games, and they're made up out of people that left WayForward Technologies. They did stuff like Double Dragon Neon and other stuff I can't remember off the top of my head. But the game is basically an 8-bit action adventure game. It kind of looks like Mega Man / Castlevania, and they kind of described it as even Dark Souls as well in terms of gameplay.
And great.
It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I think just the whole Kickstarter thing is going to revolutionize gaming. I think it already has to an extent. It's just so cool that now you can actually see these games really, really getting the backing they need. It shows that there's a lot of people who just don't want the same crap over and over.
Yeah.
Who are willing to put money forward. One thing that I've read that a lot of people are discussing is, do you think it's fair that people like Tim Schafer and Peter Molyneux are on Kickstarter asking for money for games?
Well, sure. I mean, because what Tim Schafer did, it he did it for Double Fine Adventure, which now has an official name that I can't remember. But The thing is that's a point-and-click adventure game that he probably did shop to actual publishers, but seeing how point-and-click adventures aren't super popular except for, like, The Walking Dead, which is a total anomaly in itself. I mean, that's a game that's almost completely unpublishable by a major publisher, but, I mean, he can go to Kickstarter, I think he only asked for, like, $30,000 initially, gets his $3.5 million.
Damn.
And that's great, I think.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to be taking away from the people who maybe, you know, aren't such huge names in gaming? Because Tim Schafer is a pretty established figurehead. And same with Molyneux for different reasons.
I think it serves more to legitimize Kickstarter as, you know, source of funding for a game more than anything. It does more good than harm, I think.
All right.
Because, if you can see a well-known developer and if you see that he needs money to support his thing, you know, to me that legitimizes it a little bit.
Right.
Every now and then, not even the biggest names need a little help now and then.
Yeah. I think it's even almost sad that you see these guys who are supposed to be these, like, gods in gaming, and they're begging for
Well, sure. I mean,
but
I mean,
yeah, I'd have to agree with that too.
It just kind of shows you how narrow-minded the industry can be when it comes to what kind of games they put out.
Well, exactly. That's one of the things, is that it does do that. Like, you see companies like EA putting all this weird DRM and all this on this DLC and DLC season passes, all this weird stuff, because there's no money in publishing games or whatever. But, like, this kind of just makes a case for it. Like, you're just not putting out the games that people want.
right.
Or the games that people want to keep and not trade in.
Right, and I think what's cool is that when you're actually putting money towards a game that's sort of building from the ground up, you can more custom tailor your spending choices to specifically what you want. Whereas if you're buying a game off the shelf, it's sort of like you got to take whatever prepackaged stuff you can get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like here you're getting updates in real time mostly. Every now and then they email you an update like, hey, this is what we're doing with the game now.
Right, as opposed to just picking something up that's already finished where you get what you get.
Right.
So I think Kickstarter is already the next big thing in video games.
Have you guys bought anything on Kickstarter before?
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
Well...
It's the next step for games, one that I have not jumped into yet, but if I see something that I really like, then maybe I'll put forth the money.
Have you used Kickstarter for anything?
No. But I mean, it is, you know, it is revolutionizing a lot of other things. Movies too. They're getting that Veronica Mars movie.
Yeah, I heard about that. Because, like, literally, the fans paid for it.
The fans paid for a Veronica Mars movie. Yeah, what idiots! But yeah, no, I think it's fantastic, and hopefully we'll be seeing it more. Hopefully, we draw people less from the big publishers and more towards the people who really care about the fans and the type of product they're putting out, not necessarily about the money.
Right on.
Yeah, I like that.
And that's my speech.
Speaking of publishing stuff, THQ isn't very good at it because they don't exist anymore. And
man,
as a result,
another fantastic transition. <by the way. laughs>
And as a result, Darksiders 2 has been pulled from the European Wii U eShop. So people in Europe can no longer download the game, as the publisher for it no longer exists.
Have they already done that here?
Not yet, but I can't imagine it being very far behind.
Yeah. Well, while I'm sure the vast amount of people that own a Wii U are disappointed. Yeah, I mean, I was under the impression that once you, and maybe this is a very stupid impression, but once you put it on the online service, like even if the publisher tanked, you could still keep it on there.
Oh, no, like, this has happened before with different, I mean, for different circumstances. Like, back a while ago when Silicon Knights was in a big, like, lawsuit against Epic Games because they said that they weren't offering them the support that they needed for Unreal 3. that was a lawsuit that they eventually lost, and they had to pull copies of Two Human, X-Men, Legacy off of, like, store shelves and also off of Xbox On Demand.
Okay, to be fair, though, that hurt absolutely no one.
It hurt their feelings, that's about it.
It hurt their feelings, but none of the customers cared.
Yeah, those games sucked. Those are bad games. But, it's a thing that's happened before. I mean, unfortunately.
And I don't see Darksiders 2 being gone as a huge loss. I mean, so doesn't the Wii U not even have a hard drive?
Well, yeah, it's got flash memory up to 32 gigs. It's not a very big deal.
Right,
but it's expandable. You can plug in an external hard drive and expand it up to 2 terabytes if you're so inclined.
I just feel like not a lot of people are going to be downloading full games.
I don't even really understand the concept of the Wii U. I just don't get it. But I'll probably end up buying it later anyways because they're talking about making a new Zelda game. So
well, there's always a new Zelda game, so it's always fun.
It's a Nintendo console. I'm obviously hyped for Bayonetta 2.
But the way that Nintendo's functioning lately in terms of their publishing is that they've been doing a not-so-great job of supplying retail copies, and they're just like, just download it from the eShop. They did it with They did it with Fire Emblem Awakening on the 3DS. Like, that game is impossible to find.
Yeah, you cannot find that anywhere. Like, good luck.
But every email I've ever gotten about the game, they're like, download it from the eShop. Download it from the eShop. We'll give you 20 extra Club Nintendo points or whatever.
See, now that's just...
I mean, that's fine for handheld games, because those games are, like, at tops, small. 1 or 2 gigs. But, like, something for, like, LEGO City Undercover, that's another game that's kind of hard to find. Right. And that's also another Nintendo-published game. You're like, download it from the eShop, and it's 22 gigs. It's like, okay.
Yeah, so it's almost like they're forcing you to go for the expanded memory, because if you don't, 22 gigs on a 32 gigabyte memory...
You actually can't even download it there. You'd need an external one, because there's like 24 gigs of usable memory on the 32 gig.
So that's a load of crap.
Yeah,
yeah, it really is.
It's all a mess. It's all a mess of Wii U publishing for both THQ and Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess it wouldn't be as bad if they could find retail copies a lot easier.
Right.
But I guess if they can't, yeah, then that really sucks. Not that a lot of them could download it anyway, unless they had expanded memory. I'm actually disappointed, because I want to see a Darksiders 3.
Yeah, that's the thing. Another thing is that the developer...
Vigil Games hasn't been bought.
Well, no, they haven't. They were never bought, but Crytek ended up hiring the entire studio, basically, and formed Crytek USA. And it's pretty much the whole core staff, and the CEO of Vigil Games is the CEO of Crytek USA, and he's going to go bid on the Darksiders IP when that goes up to auction.
So then there's a possibility.
Maybe.
Yeah, I would love to see it, because they've only covered 2 of the 4 horsemen.
Right.
So I need at least another game, maybe with co-op.
Yeah, and it'll be great for it to go to basically go back home where it belongs.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
As long as Ninja Theory doesn't take it, then we've had problems. If they're going to like reboot him, make him like an emo war.
Ninja Theory rules and you suck.
All right. I suck.
How's that?
Okay. That's, yes, it's my fault. It's my fault they made Dante into a little whiny emo baby.
Wah-wah.
I know. Now I sound like the whiny baby.
I know. Why are we complaining about Dante right now?
Well, because, I don't know, Jack is an idiot, I guess. I don't know.
Speaking of idiots.
Seriously.
Speaking of idiots, Microsoft won't give people the new mode in Gears of War Judgment, and it's hidden in the game's code. You want to talk about that?
Sure. So what the exact situation is that Gears of War Judgment, there's like a little bit of code, there's like a line of code that wasn't meant to be in the final game, but I guess they didn't delete it for whatever reason. And it's basically the Warzone mode from the first 3 games that didn't make it into Judgment for whatever reason. And someone found it, and it's fully playable if you know all the correct button presses to get in there. But, you know, it's not meant to be there. But Microsoft went out to say, they're like, yeah, that's there. It's playable if you want. But they have no plans to release it officially as DLC, paid or otherwise.
Why would they even say, like, here, it's playable, and then not even release it?
I don't know. You can only play it in private games, I guess, so, but whatever.
I can't think of a good reason why they wouldn't do that, especially since Warzone's been in the other 3 games.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because I guess the bulk of the development was handled by People Can Fly, who isn't the primary developer of the other Gears games.
Right.
So I guess they want to do their own thing, and... I mean,
if they already have it in the game.
I don't know. They decided to go with Execution instead. They brought that back as free mode to download as well. So there's that. There's plenty to do for you know, Gears Judgment without Warzone, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
I mean, Warzone was basically just deathmatch.
It's basically team deathmatch.
It's not a super exciting
once
mode.
Once you die, you're out for the round, and whoever's the last guy standing, his team gets a point for that round.
Yeah, and then you're the first idiot to die in Warzone. You're stuck waiting for the match for the round 5 minutes.
That was me. I was terrible at Gears multiplayer. I'd die, and then I'd go like make dinner or something, and then I'd come back and watch the rest of the match play out, and was basically it. It was the worst.
Yeah. So whatever. Warzone, I guess, can stay hidden for all I care.
Fair enough.
That's all the news we've got for now, I guess.
Yes.
Cool.
So now for new releases of games that are coming out.
Yeah, so this is
the Defiance beta.
Yeah. Well that... Defiance, the full game.
Yeah, this is the week of April 1st, 2013. April Fool's. Hooray. The absolute worst day on the internet. So yeah, Defiance is out at retail. That's That's a game. BSD 360 PC.
Yeah. It's a it's an MMO third person shooter. It's supposed to tie in with the TV show on Sci-Fi, which, I mean, that should explain that. That should already tell you not to buy the game.
Wait, is it third person? I thought it was first person. At least that was the impression I was under.
No, it was third person. Unless the game was so unmemorable that I completely forgot. I think it's third person.
It is third person.
I downloaded the beta, but I never bothered to play it.
Yeah, it sucks. So. Yeah, I played the beta. It's not very good. It's basically like you're an Ark hunter and like it's like a newly terraformed Earth in San Francisco and then you go in there and I don't know. The story is dumb. The gameplay is so bland. You got your basic weapons. You've got your powers, like you can turn invisible or you can speed yourself up or just your it's such bland gameplay. And then there's even like an AI that follows you around, basically Cortana. And the actual MMO elements, I'm sure it'll be a little bit expanded in the full game, but really when I was playing the beta, all I really noticed was you have other people who can occasionally enter like skirmishes with you and they can help you fight. And the whole time you're fighting like irradiated rednecks. So yeah,
it sounds like it wants to be Borderlands.
Yeah.
I hear it's like this weird cross between Borderlands and like Guild Wars or something.
Yeah, and maybe a little bit of like, I don't know, Tribes or Planet Side. Yeah, just based on what I've seen of those games. So yes, I would recommend all of you skip Defiance, or you know maybe you'll like it more than I did.
Probably not.
Who knows? Probably not.
Let's see. Next, we've got Battle Black Theater on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah, this is the, God, what's their names? Behemoth, yes. Right?
This game has been in development forever.
Yeah, long time.
Yeah, I mean, I've played this, like, I think it was announced in 2008 or something. Well, I mean, right after Castle Crashers came out, whatever year that was.
Yeah.
Like, immediately after that.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, they're like, check out our next game. It's called Battle Black Theater. Like, yeah, this looks pretty interesting. And then, like, every year, they're like, check out Battle Black Theater. It's like, okay. Like,
yeah.
Like, why is it taking so long to make this Xbox Live Arcade game?
But, and Behemoth are the guys. They made Newgrounds.com.
Yeah.
Which is a very popular website for Flash animations and Flash games and stuff. This game looks awesome, I think. I think it looks really cool. And I love the other Behemoth games. Alien Hominid was really fun, and Castle Crashers I sunk so many hours into.
Castle Crashers is good stuff.
Yeah.
So much fun. I hope after Battle Block they go back for more Castle Crashers. Because I think it was such a fantastic little game. And this looks really cool too. Their games always have really sort of an arcadey feel to them, a really old school feel to them. And they also have a really wicked sense of humor. Which is cool because there's really not a lot of dialogue. So it's a visual humor, but it works really well. So I'm really hyped for this. Now it's as of now, it's just an Xbox exclusive.
Yes.
Do you think, I think it'll probably come to, cause the Castle Crashers came to PlayStation later, like a couple years later. Do you think Battle Block will?
Probably. It's probably in their best interest not to stay to one ecosystem. I mean, Castle Crashers made it over, like you said.
So. Yeah. And actually, the PlayStation version was like a Game of the Year-ish edition, because it had all the Xbox DLC that came with it for free. So if they do that with Battle Block, maybe I'll hold off on playing it. And finally, there's a demo coming out for Injustice Gods Among Us. That is the new fighting game from NetherRealm, I believe.
Yeah.
DC Universe roster. All your favorites, Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman. Aquaman's no one's favorite, but...
hey, I know, pretty, poor Aquaman.
He's pretty badass in the new 52. I like Aquaman.
all right. I'm sorry, I can't take that seriously.
Hey, man, he's great. He's the king of Atlantis again.
Yeah, so what? You probably know more about the demo than I do.
Not really. I just know that it's It's out tomorrow, April 2nd.
Do we know what characters we're getting?
Nope. I just know that it's going to be 2 full weeks for people to try before the game comes out on April 16th.
That's cool. Did you guys see the tournament that they were hosting for the game?
Yes. I saw some of it, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Some of the attacks and specials that the characters have are really interesting to see.
Who won?
Oh, gosh.
Probably Batman. It's always Batman.
Yeah, better be Batman.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Batman.
it always boils down to Batman versus Superman, and it's always Batman who wins.
Yeah, I mean, I voted for Batman even when Batman wasn't an option.
Like, I know, right?
I'm writing in Batman.
It was just a write-in.
Like, this isn't even a comic book thing. What are you doing? This is the general election for President of the United States. I want Batman.
Well, it was, like, when I voted, I didn't even know how to vote, because I wasn't sure if it was, like, who do you think would win in a fight? Because I have no way of knowing that, because I don't know the comics that much. Or it's, like, which character do you prefer? So, obviously, I prefer Batman, because he's the best. He's, like, I don't know, the most... I feel like he's the most interesting character to people who don't really read comic books. Yeah. So I picked him. I wasn't sure, like, if it was who would win in a fight, he might not win every fight. And then you have the question of, well, did he have time to prepare beforehand or didn't he? Because that's a whole big factor. I don't know.
Batman prepared. There's no did he prepare. It's how much time did he have to prepare?
Batman always prepared. I don't know what you guys are talking about, seriously.
You know, but sometimes he's just based, like, just totally schooled Superman, at least, like, twice. Like, just embarrass his ass in the comics. It's crazy.
But I think it's good that they're releasing it, like, 2 weeks early so people can get used to it, get used to the fighting mechanics. So when they go into the game, they will not have to start over kind of learning fresh. They'll be able to...
Right, they'll be ready for it.
Yeah, they'll have 2 weeks of prep, assuming, you know, they actually spent the whole 2 weeks playing it.
Right.
And it's probably going to come with two characters, like those demos always do for fighting.
At least three or four.
I hope so.
I would imagine they'd put at least, you know, like, a handful of different characters in there. Not a lot, but just...
I feel like fighting demos will do maybe three or four at max. And it'll be, like, one stage or something, one or two stages.
Right.
I know for the Mortal Kombat demo, I think it was, like, three characters.
I didn't remember there being a demo for Mortal Kombat.
There was. You could play as Sub-Zero, Scorpion, Johnny Cage, and Melina. I think that's it. I think those were the four characters you could play as. So, yeah, maybe four. Probably not a lot, though. I'll play it, though. You said tomorrow is April 2nd.
Right, April 2nd, and the game in full comes out on April 16th.
All right, cool. That's gonna be a good time.
Yeah. So that's all the stuff that's coming out this week. But still, I mean, pretty slow week, I guess. Defiance and then two sort of arcade releases. And I mean, people are still talking about BioShock, man. That came out last week.
Oh my gosh, that game! The demo is just beautiful. I haven't gotten the game yet. I plan on it, but I can't even tell you how impressed I am just by the environment and everything. It's just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I found the 1 hour trial for PlayStation Plus. You know how they usually have the time trials. I haven't touched it. I want to play it, but I kind of don't want to do a demo and then play the game. I just kind of want to jump into it and have everything feel fresh to me.
Well, if you do the full trial on PlayStation Plus, any trophies that you're in and any progress, that stays. And then you get the full game, all of that unlocked. You get any trophies you unlocked, and your progress will still be there.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
Although I'm not sure if that only applies to the downloaded version. So I don't know.
Yeah, I've never done one of those time trials, but if that's true and it works for the disc version too, then I'll definitely check that out.
But either way,
you wrote a review.
Yeah, I wrote a review. I don't want to talk too much about it. I mean, I don't even spoil anything story-wise in the review. But I feel like if I start talking about the game, I'm going to keep going and going until I've been talking about the entire thing and everybody hates me.
Well, did you, like, the main thing was, did you like it?
The main thing is that I liked it a lot. It's kind of weird that our first review on Stealthy Box is a perfect 10. But that's just the way it crumbles, man. It's just what happened.
So, specifically, not going into too much detail... What are some of the changes that they made in terms of combat
from
the
actually not a
previous
whole
ones?
lot in terms of combat. Like all like the changes come mostly from the very different setting. The idea, the fact that you have like an AI partner with you the entire time. Things like that. Like the combat itself is pretty similar. Like you still have the basic guns, you know, you got your machine gun, your pistol, you've got your Vigors now instead of plasmid. But basically shooting stuff out of your hand like you did in the original game. But the biggest difference in the combat is that now that there are these skylines installed in this, you know, big sky city, the story reason that they're there is that they get great in people around the city, but you can just use this grappling hook to zoom in and out of different combat situations, go to higher ground, escape sketchy, like crappy, hairy situations. It's a lot of fun, but
And do they give you the freedom to approach combat in different ways because of those railways?
yeah, like I said, I mean, you can either use it to get to higher ground to get a better vantage point, or you can just book it when you're getting overwhelmed. I mean, one of the bigger things for the combat is Elizabeth, the companion partner, because she has the ability to open like tears in time and space. And what she can do is she can put up cover for you. She could put like gun turrets or different weapons, health packs, a whole bunch of different stuff. And she can also give you supplies as well in the middle of combat. So like,
Oh, that's actually
yeah, like you'll be running
pretty
low on
cool.
salts, which is what replaces Eve. It's basically the mana for, you know, your vigors. She'll throw it to you whenever you're running low. Same for health, same for ammo. She's super helpful. She's great. One of the best AI characters pretty much ever.
So the first two were very gloomy and kind of dark. Is there th this one obviously looks a lot more colorful and stuff, but is it still kind of is there still a darkness to it? In
Well,
the story, at least.
the way the setting is it's very thematically heavy, just like the first BioShock game was. It doesn't have the survival horror aspect to it, like in Rapture, where you know you're in this creepy underwater city, you got these big daddies lumbering around,
Right.
and you have to be very deliberate setting traps and all that. None of that's here. It's not as Like there's nothing spooky about the game at all. It's mostly just disturbing, and the fact that it's a giant city of racist floating people.
Do they have an equivalent of a Big Daddy in the game?
They do. It's this thing. They have two things, sort of. Like they have one of them is called the Patriot. He's basically just a statue of a president, either Washington or like Jefferson or something. And he'll just walk around with a chain gun, and he's basically just he'll do that. But he's
That
not a big
sounds
deal.
awesome.
And then there's this other thing called a handyman, which is this kind of like biomechanical abomination dude. And he takes way more damage and he's way harder to kill. I don't think they're gonna be as iconic as, you know, the Big Daddy was. Like the Big Daddy was.
I mean, yeah, that's what people think of when they think BioShock.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I don't think those enemies are gonna stick the way that, you know, the Big Daddy did, but I think they work very well in terms of, you know, the context of the game.
That's cool. That's cool. Do you think if they make a sequel, are they gonna? You know what? I probably shouldn't talk about any sequels. I don't want
Yeah, I don't want to get
to
too.
spoil any.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we'll get to
Okay.
that.
I know. I was about to say we don't even know how it ends yet.
Yeah. That's what I thought. All right, so next up is Krista. You went to PAX East.
I did.
How cool
It
was
was tell us about it.
it was a little nerve-wracking, to be honest. I'm a convention goer, but for the past few years, it's been focused solely on like anime conventions. And I have to tell you, the scale compared to Anime Boston, for example, is just ridiculous. I have never seen so many people in my life, especially gamers. It was very overwhelming. It was insane.
Yeah, I think last year when I went, they had, I think, they estimated about 70,000 people
I
over the
feel like
weekend.
there were so many more people than that. Like, the head count is just, I mean, you'd go up on the top floor just to look into the exhibition hall, and there were literally no gaps. There were just like people everywhere. It was
Oh, yeah, it's shoulder to
crazy.
shoulder. It's crazy.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, you can't even walk 2 feet without hitting somebody. It's ridiculous, but it was just like probably just, I can't even explain it. I'm so happy I went.
What did you go see exactly?
Well, originally my friend from Canada who won King of the Nerds, she bought a ticket for me because I told her I really wanted to experience PAX. I had heard about it, and I was like, you know, this is an expo for gamers. Like, I'm just used to seeing it for anime and stuff of that sort. And I went into it, and because I'm, like, devoted to Mass Effect and BioWare, I was like, they have to be there. I need to see them. So, mainly, I think, especially after I heard that they were holding panels and signings and stuff like that, that kind of just hooked me to go. But the second I got in and saw everything that they had to offer, my mind was just blown completely.
Did you see any interesting cosplayers?
Anything
that really stuck out?
A lot of things stick out. A lot of people dressed up as the Asari from Mass Effect, they were literally like blue.
Oh yeah, I saw a woman last year who was dressed as Samara, who was the actual face model for Samara.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, holy shit, you're Samara.
they had everything. Everything was perfect, like the hair, or, I don't know, tentacles, whatever.
I've got a picture of her somewhere. It's on my dead abandoned Google Plus profile somewhere.
It looks so real. Like, these people put so much into it. Like, not even just Mass Effect. I mean, they had everything. I saw, like, Zelda cosplayers. I mean, Pokemon, just everything. Like, throughout the whole spectrum. And these people, or certain ones anyways, they go to such lengths for their costumes and their props, and just I'm so impressed and jealous at the same time, because I wish I could do that.
It takes a lot of time.
Yeah, I actually saw a picture, I think it was on the Mass Effect Twitter page, or BioWare's Twitter. Some guy went to PAX as a Reaper.
Yeah.
Like, he made like, it was like a huge clunky, like, Reaper outfit. And it could not have been easy to maneuver in.
I'd just go to like a costume shop and just like grab a shrimp costume and just paint it slightly darker.
Yeah,
that'd be my Reaper costume.
It was pretty impressive.
I'll just go as Shepard and be lazy.
Like, yeah, I'm just Cash Shepard. Cash.
I'm Shepard.
They did have people doing that. Definitely, I saw a bunch of them. I went to the retrospective panel for Mass Effect, and just half of the people that attended cosplayed, and it was crazy.
Do you ever cosplay for conventions? Anything that you've been to? Have you done that before?
My second anime convention, I attempted my first cosplay as Misa from Death Note, because at the time I was obsessed with that anime, even though now I hate it. And it was horrible compared to, like, everybody else. I was just like, okay, I'm never going to do this again.
Yeah, that's too much for me.
It gets really expensive. I mean, unless people make it themselves, which props to them, but just a lot of time and effort goes into something like that.
And materials, fuck. Getting, like, decent materials to make something that doesn't look like you just slap together, like, cardboard tubes or whatever.
Some of the booths in the exhibition center they were selling, like, props from certain games. And a lot of them were actually really cool. They had this one, it kind of looked like Cloud's Buster Sword from Final Fantasy VII. It was huge, and, like, it just, I wanted to hold it. This is so cool.
Did you see any actual game? Did you bother to line up for anything?
I tried to line up for Elder Scrolls Online.
That was probably a hot mess.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea. Every day, I mean, the first day we got there, maybe an hour or two after the event officially opened. But these people will just get there and sit and wait. It's ridiculous. They would have been there for hours, and we'd wander off and come back, and there'd be someone at the end of the line. It got shorter, but they were the cap. So it's like, sorry, yeah. You know, this guy was last. Go away. Like, you can't try this game anymore.
Yeah, last year the two biggest lines were for Borderlands 2 and Aliens Colonial Marines.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They were both three-hour lines.
I mean, I saw a bunch of different things, mainly because I went with three people that compete in Halo. I spent a lot of time over there until I wandered off, but I definitely have to say, like, Elder Scrolls had a lot of people around. They also had a Square Enix booth. Not a booth, really. They were showing off Tomb Raider, and Deus Ex has a Director's Cut edition or something coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's coming out on Wii U, I believe.
Yeah, and they had that, and they were screening, like, Lightning Returns and
oh boy.
Kingdom Hearts 1.5. It was just, some guy actually told me, they're showing a preview for Kingdom Hearts 3, and I flipped out because I thought he was serious, and we ran to the booth, and it's Kingdom Hearts 1.5. I wanted to go back and, like, strangle him because I got so excited. It was horrible.
Yeah, you can get a PAX enforcer to do that for you. You're like, hey, guy, just bash this idiot for me for a little while.
I should have. But I'd have to say my favorite experience, I saw the Video Game Orchestra, and they're just amazing.
What?
They did.
I've never heard of it.
You've never heard I think of she them? Means a video game orchestra.
Oh, yeah. I thought.
They're called, like,
yeah, no, I thought you. I thought she said that too at first. Like, I think we thought you meant, like, a video game called orchestra.
Oh. But I saw them at Anime Boston maybe, like, 2 or 3 years ago. And they're just incredible. They played, what was it? Mute City from F-Zero.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You can watch it on YouTube. I highly recommend looking it up. Your mind, you won't even understand or be able to fathom how people can do things like that.
Nintendo's got to get off their idiot ass and make a new F-Zero already.
I know, it's so old.
I don't know. I feel like the... I don't know. Like, I know I personally wouldn't buy another F-Zero if they played it. I feel like it's been out of the limelight so long that...
You're out of the limelight.
All right. All right.
Bite your tongue.
We should just keep a tab of, like, games that I've ruined.
All of them. Literally all of them that we've talked about.
Yeah, I think every single one, actually.
Thanks for that,
Except
Jack.
Maybe Shovel Knight, but...
Yeah, that's the only one you didn't rag on.
Or just ruin with a horrible tangent. Like, get the hell out of here.
Right.
What other PAX tales you got, Krista?
Oh. Well, I met Chris Priestley from BioWare.
What does he do there exactly?
For something? Oh my goodness. He's a producer, I believe. I think he worked on Mass Effect. Don't exactly know what he did. I don't remember. I was way too excited when I found out. I met him, and then I saw Raphael Sparge, who voices Caden Alenko.
Man,
I was a little sad because I wanted to, like, shake his hand, and
I'd have been like, "Oh, I killed you in the very first game, dude!
No,
you were so easy to kill."
I would have just been like, "I kept you alive."
Like, I've literally not heard of 1/3 of your lines or 2/3 of your lines. I've never heard of.
I kept them alive.
Other than that, I played Slender Man for my first time.
They had that at PAX?
No, not at PAX, but, like, after PAX at night, okay. I played Slender Man. It was pretty scary.
it's nuts, because it's such a simple concept.
Right.
And they just execute it so well. They don't bother with, like, jump scares and stuff. It's just all atmosphere.
I mean, it's hard not to get engrossed in it. Like, you get so devoted to, okay, I have to find these pages. And, you know, you find the first one and you hear the footsteps and it's and the heartbeat. And oh my goodness. It was horrible.
And the worst is when he turns you around.
He can teleport too, and he just pops out of nowhere.
Yeah, they have add-ons you can like play in a hospital, an elementary school,
yeah, and an asylum or something.
And they're making a sequel.
I saw that actually.
Which looks a lot more impressive.
It does. I really want to try it. I mean, I'm not exactly a fan of, you know, survival horror, just because I get scared really easily. And literally every time I played Slender Man, if I saw him, I would cover my eyes and move away from the computer, which would defeat the purpose, because then I would lose. But, I mean, I...
The only way to really lose is when you shit your pants.
No, thankfully I did not do that.
So you're still a winner.
I mean...
Unlike Joe.
I've never...
Poor Joe!
I've never played Slender Man.
You've never... Oh, dude, you gotta check that out.
Play Slender Man. You
gotta check it out, man. It's good.
I'm good.
It's good.
I'll take your word for it.
You have to play it, like, in the dark.
That sounds like the absolute worst idea.
You have to immerse yourself into it. Like, really.
Yeah, it's not scary if you play it in, like, the daytime.
No.
Well, good. That's great. I'll do it that way.
All right, that's, if you want to be a little baby, about it.
I know, I played it and I can handle it, and I'm someone who, like, hates all of, like, horror anything. You could do it.
All right.
Yeah, you could do it. Come on, be a man. Be a manly man. All right, so that sounds like a fun PAX East. Did you get sick afterwards? I feel like it's so easy to get sick there.
It is super.
Because there's so many people crowded.
I did not get sick, actually. I mean...
That's wonderful.
I got no sleep, but I didn't get sick.
Yeah, like when I went last year, I pretty much had a bottle of Purell just tied to my hip. I was like, hey, nice to meet you, squirt. I squirt on their hand, like, there you go. Do that for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I if I ever went, I'd be like hazmat suiting it up. And then I just pretend it was from some game.
Next time I go, I think I'm just going to put it in a misting bottle and just spray it all over people.
Some people, though, like, I know you see this everywhere, but some people were just so rude. Like, there was this one moment where they were exiting everybody out of the main theater, I think after the orchestra performed, and something had happened where this pack of, like, God knows how many people was stopped completely. And, I mean, you still have people coming down the escalators, and they're yelling things and saying, like, move and pushing, and, oh my gosh, I hated it. That's the only thing I hated was how congested it was.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I mean, like, I got lost. I feel like I could have lost my friends at any moment. We should have, like, had a chain or something going around.
Wouldn't it be so bad if there wasn't, like, a core of, like, 2,000 people in the building at all times who would just refuse to shower or use deodorant?
Oh, my God. I don't even want to think about
like
that.
You can always smell them from, like, across the booth. You're like, this son of a bitch farted his, like, three-bean burrito from, like, yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Or whatever. It's like, oh, God. But other than that, PAX is pretty great.
That sounds...
It really is.
There is no other than that. That sounds awful.
Really?
That sounds like the worst thing. That sounds like it would ruin the whole experience for me.
I don't know if I'd even want to, like, go into the vicinity of wherever that person was.
Like, sometimes you don't even have a choice. You're just stuck in line, and, like, you're in line, like, halfway into it. You're, like, halfway into this, like, two-hour line, and then some guy's, like, 10 minutes ahead of you, but that's only, like, 20 feet. And he blows a big wet fart or whatever, and you gotta live with it. Or leave the line completely. It's like, well, there's some weird life decisions and reflections that I have to make after the show.
That's why I'm going in a gas mask and just telling people that I'm role-playing Metro 2033. Oh, man. Okay, enough about farts. So
yeah, no more this nasty talk. I don't like it.
There's a lady in our presence.
Seriously, Joe.
You have to be sensitive to Jack.
I'm fragile.
All right. That's pretty much it. Facts, I guess, right? Unless you have any little things to add to that, or can we?
I don't think so. Except I tried Halo against other people for the first time, not in a tournament or anything. Because when I played it, I accidentally shot someone on my team. That was my first kill. So I feel really bad.
You only get a first kill once, and that was the one.
I got like 6, I think, and the 3 competitive people were like, that's really good for somebody just starting, but I think they were just being nice to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you were a dude, they would not be as nice.
No, probably not.
All right. So, anyway, let's move on to this next segment. Before we introduce this community question, I guess it's inspired by an article that went up today as we record. And what we put up today was an article called the top five series of this generation. Basically, the best, our list of the 5 best new IPs that came out during the PS3, Xbox 360 life cycle. You can check it out on StealthyBox.com. Leave some comments, tell us what you think about that. But here, let's turn it around to the community. And then I guess we can answer as well. What is your favorite new IP from this console generation? And if you guys want to submit answers, you can go ahead and do so at this site up at StealthyBox.com. So yeah, what do you guys? What's your favorite?
Oh my goodness.
I'm going to say Mass Effect. That's like, as soon as I saw the question, I mean, I pretty much knew. And it's one that I didn't get into until a couple months ago, that I'd put off for so long because I didn't like Mass Effect when I first played it in 2007. And I tried it again, and I just fell in love with just the universe, the characters, everything about it. And I think it pushed aside Elder Scrolls as, like, my favorite Western RPG. Not that I could, you know, put Elder Scrolls as the answer anyway, because it's older. But, yeah, Mass Effect would be my answer.
I definitely have to say that Jack probably took all the words out of my mouth. Mass Effect for me, too.
Well, that was easy.
Okay. Well,
and the top 5 list that is yours specifically?
No, that's, like no, I didn't write that. But in the interest of saying something different, I guess, I'll just have to go with, I'll say Portal. Portal's not.
You really want to say Mass Effect, don't you?
I do want to say Mass Effect, but I'm not. I don't want to be part of the
peer pressure.
No, I'm not falling into that. I'm not part of the
give in.
I'm my own man, man.
All right, if you say so. No. You know what?
So
then
cool.
If I can't, like, I'll say Left 4 Dead then.
Really?
If she's picking Mass Effect, I'll say Left 4 Dead, and you pick Portal.
I have to always pick Mass Effect. I'm just right. Addicted. I love it. I'm
Portal
sorry.
Portal would be my second, so I have to go to my third, which is probably Left 4 Dead. And this is all off the top of my head with no real thought put into it beforehand. Yes, I would say Left 4 Dead because it's just such a simple concept, and I love the arcadey feel to it. First one is better, I think, because it's just a lot simpler.
I think if I had to add another one though, I'd have to say Tomb Raider maybe.
The new one.
Yeah.
Does that can we count that?
That's kind of
does it count?
Breaking the rules.
That's kind of iffy. That's
can I break the rules?
That's sketchy. Yeah,
yeah,
we're gonna have to go to our
very old franchise.
We're gonna have to go.
Maybe
to our
someone else will say it too, so I won't be by myself.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say no.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have to think of something else. I thought I had something.
No,
okay.
You pick. We only thought of other things because you picked Mass Effect, or I picked Mass Effect, and then you picked Mass Effect, and then we just switched it around.
I love Mass Effect. I just can't.
Then stay with Mass Effect. Stick to your guns. Be yourself.
Okay. I stick to Mass Effect then.
All right, let's see what else was on the list that people can be mad about. Infamous was good. I liked Infamous.
Oh, yeah, Infamous. Definitely. Uncharted.
Uncharted was on the list. Thanks for reading.
let's see. Can I guess other ones?
Go ahead.
I'm going to guess Assassin's Creed.
That was not on.
Oh my god, Assassin's
really?
Creed.
Assassin's Creed was not on the list. And this is, you said top 5 or 10?
5.
5. I'm gonna go Gears of War.
That was on there.
Okay.
BioShock.
That was on there.
Yeah.
Cool. So what's that? 4 out of 5? What did we say?
I wasn't keeping track. But yeah, you said Uncharted, you said Gears, BioShock, and then Mass Effect was on there, and so was Borderlands.
Borderlands. Okay. Oh, so I thought
that's
you said
Infamous, isn't it?
No, Infamous was not on there.
Oh, okay.
Neither was Portal.
Was not there. Portal was not on there. Left 4 Dead was not on there.
Yeah.
No.
All fine games. But
yeah.
Go ahead and head over to stealthybox.com. Read exactly why those 5 games were the ones that were picked.
Cool.
I think we're done, dude.
Yeah, I think we just got stuff.
I think we just finished recording a podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, don't we have to plug stuff?
Yeah, that's usually how we end podcasts, Mr. Jump the Fucking Gun.
Wait, what exactly do you mean plug stuff? Can you explain?
Free country, I can jump whatever I want. Plug stuff like a website, Twitter.
Yeah, I'll Facebook. Start with the official plugs. Of course, the website is stealthybox.com. You can find us over on Twitter at stealthyboxes, facebook.com/stealthybox, and youtube.com/stealthyboxtv, all the social stuff.
And just, yeah, stealthyboxes is plural. We couldn't get stealthybox.
Stealthybox belongs to this one guy who has literally just 2 tweets about.
I hate it when people.
About
like
just that. Nothing. I was like.
Wait, really? The Twitter is stealthyboxes and I never noticed?
Yep.
You've been following.
What's up with that?
I don't know that guy, Stealthybox. I already hate him because, like, just don't, like, if you're going to make a Twitter, use it. Don't take our name. Don't take our I don't know.
I need to find this Stealthybox guy and just be like, you need to change your name.
Let's all just report him for spam.
I know. I'll do it. I'll do it right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to end a podcast. Let's go online bully.
Well, you know, I was going to suggest more violent methods, but I like yours more. We'll just cyberbully him until he gives it to us, until he gives us the Twitter. All right. And do we want to talk about our personal Twitters?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So I'm at the Cinema Jack. One word.
Why is it the Cinema Jack? How many Cinema Jacks are there?
Why is it?
You know, I didn't realize I was going to be like cross-examined tonight. Okay. I didn't realize this was going to be 20 questions that you guys were going to sit me down, shine a flashlight in my face, and make me answer.
Whenever you're going to say something questionable, I'm going to go ahead and question it.
I always say something questionable.
And here I am questioning it.
You know, that's the name of my film blog, so.
Oh, I'm bored already.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go to my film blog, thecinemajack.com,
God.
We'll redirect you to magjournal.net, magjournal.net.
Oh, that's a mess.
You know, I have to say, though, I did click on his link on his Twitter at one point, and it's actually a pretty interesting website. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. You don't have to apologize for anything.
I don't believe you.
Okay. I'll take that sorry back.
All right. So what's your Twitter?
My Twitter is Cosmic Love, but it's spelled COSMIX. Love, obviously, at the end.
Why does it have X in it?
Because, I don't know, Cosmic just would probably be taken by some other Twitter poopy face who, you know, posts one thing.
You handled interrogation a lot better than I did.
I know, the poopy face.
Well, because she has, I'm sure she's actually talked to other people outside of her house before.
Come on. I've done that on occasion. I go outside sometimes. I have a mailbox outside. I gotta go outside.
I guarantee you Jack talks to more people outside of his house than I do. I think.
Yeah, no.
It's all about quality over quantity.
I talk to great people.
Talks to his mom outside his house.
Yeah, quality over quantity. I'm saying, my mom's a great person. She gave birth to me. That's gotta be a positive.
Well, that's actually a strike in my book, but whatever.
That's no demerits for that.
Every demerit.
All right, and what's your Twitter?
This is going on too long. I'm at Wons23. That's WONS23. There you go.
Interesting. Why is it Wons? Does that stand for something?
Wons is short for Wons Auto, which is my gamer tag on everything. And Wons Auto is just the name of a body shop that my buddy owns. And that's it.
Okay, that makes sense. I had to cross-examine you because we did it to Jack, and I just felt bad.
Yeah. She felt bad for me. Don't ever feel bad for me.
She felt
bad for me. All right, I think we're done here.
Yeah, let's pack it up.
I get it.
Good. That's great.
I think we hurt his feelings.
I learn somehow.
You can't hurt what's already dead.
All right. Well then. All right. So that's it, folks. So we'll be posting this on Tuesdays, I guess. That's when this will be up, because that's when I'll be done editing it. And we'll be doing this every week. So look forward to that. We'll have an RSS feed for you guys soon. And that's it.
Sounds fun.
All right. Bye.
Bye.